What do people value the most? A recent Reuters poll says that American people value time the most, then career, success, and money come in as close second. I think that's so true, and then that's really good, because what good is money when you have no time to spend it? What good is all the power and success when no time is left for you? I mean, it's like a parable that Jesus taught us. Jesus knew that very well. That's why he gave us this parable to teach us about life. He said, then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? He had all the riches, but he didn't have time. What's the use? Time is the most valuable, the most important, and the most practical. It's not an abstract concept. Time is not an abstract concept. Time is most important and most practical. So appreciate your time. Cherish it. Don't waste it away. It is free but priceless. Once you have lost it, you can never get it back. There are different ways of thinking about time. Three, maybe different aspects of time. The past, the present, and the future. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And all of these three, I think the future is the most important. If there's no future, our past and present become meaningless. You reflect on your past, so that you can make a better future. You work hard today so that you can have a better tomorrow. So your past and present should ultimately, I mean, they ultimately work for your future, because your future is the most important. I think this is really interesting, because the future is not here yet. We don't have, in our hands, we don't have the future yet. It didn't happen yet. But it determines the quality of your life. What did not happen yet is the most important thing in your life. I think that's very interesting. When you have no future, you feel devastated. So what we don't have, what we don't see, what has not happened yet, that controls and determines the quality of your life. So don't tell me that I only accept what I can see, what I can touch, and what I can feel. Because whether you like it or not, you are very much controlled by what you cannot see, what you don't feel, what you don't have yet. You are very much controlled by that future. That is the name of the future. People have different attitudes about future. I don't think many people are comfortable with their future. Ask yourself, is your future your friend or your enemy, your foe? Is your friend or your enemy? When you think about future, do you get excited about the future? Or when you think about future, oh, very dark or gloomy. I mean, the future can be scary because it is unknown, uncertain, unpredictable. And these days, the uncertainty of future becomes much, much more real than ever before. Because of U.S. policy, the whole world is dealing with the uncertainty of their future. I mean, I've never read newspapers so diligently. Almost every day I'm reading 2 hours, reading what's going on in the world. And Korea, they just impeached the president, and oh, I don't know what's going on, what's happening there. The future is very uncertain. Uncertain, unknown, unpredictable. That's the face of the future. Not only it is uncertain and unknown and unpredictable, the future is uncontrollable. You cannot control your future. Doesn't matter what you do, you cannot control your future. In Myanmar, more than 3,000 people died because of the earthquake. If they knew, they would have avoided. They never knew that it was coming to them. They cannot control their future. Recently in LA and also in Korea, because of forest fire, so many people lost their homes, houses. Nobody expected that. The future just comes to you without warning. What are people's response towards this kind of future? Worries and anxieties, yes. That is the feeling of what most people have. University students, they wonder, which university will accept me? Can I get into that program that I want to? People who are working, especially in auto industry, they're really concerned about being laid off. Anytime they'll get a slip that they got laid off. Old people, just a little sickness in their stomach. Did I get a cancer? Stomach cancer? Or, you know, if they cannot memorize something, remember something, oh, maybe I'm getting Alzheimer's. They worry about their health. Worries and anxieties, a very common attitude people have towards their future. And I realize there is another response. Another response is, because they cannot see and they cannot control their future, they're just waiting passively. Future comes and receives. If you honor the future comes, you receive. You're just passive recipient of your future. Que sera, sera, the song. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. The attitude of que sera, sera. I cannot do anything about it. I just have to accept whatever comes to me. My friends, Paul was very, very different about his attitude towards future. That's amazing. Listen to what he said. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Oh my goodness. How different this attitude is towards his future. He didn't just passively wait. He didn't just worry and have anxiety about future. He said, I am, forget what was behind. I'm straining forward to what is ahead. Very different attitude. He put away his past. He didn't dwell on it. I mean, our past can be a good teacher for all of us. Your past is a very good teacher for you. For those who do not know the history are damned to repeat it, or doomed to repeat it. So you need to know your past. So your past can be a good teacher, but at the same time, this same past can drag you down. Can drag you down. Whether it's a painful history, painful past, or a glorious past, sometimes they can drag you down. Even if you have a glorious past, what good is it? It's gone. No use. You have to cut it off. Whatever holds you back, you have to cut it off and then move forward. That's what St. Paul said. I consider my past as rubbish. Rubbish is a very gentle, nice translation. But when you look at Greek, it's a skubalon. Skubalon meaning dung. In Korean, dong. Same word, dung or dong. Excrement, refuse. He considered his past as rubbish, and he moved on. He cut it off. Forgetting what lies behind me, I will strain forward to what lies ahead. Very future-oriented mentality. And so I wonder, how could he have such a strong future-oriented mentality? How could he do that? Most of us don't do that. How could he do that? How? Because Paul saw something in the future that we don't see. He saw very clearly something in the future. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. He saw the goal. What do you see in your future? That's my sermon title today. What do you see in your future? Dark, gloomy, and ominous clouds? Is that what you see in your future? In the same letter that he sent to Philippians, he said this, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. What did he see? Whatever God began in Paul, in the future, it will be completed. It will be accomplished. That's what he saw. Whatever God began in you will bring it to completion. Completion in your tomorrow, in your future. He saw what was in the future with the eyes of faith. With the eyes of faith, he was able to see very clearly what was in his future. What did John see? Apostle John, what did he see? He said this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. These people, these disciples, these spiritual people, they were able to see what was in the future. He saw a new heaven and new earth. Paul saw that whatever God began will be completed. It will be completed in the future. Paul saw the power that moved and propelled him into the future. That was his attitude. He had this power, and this power propelled him into the future. He didn't just wait passively for the future to come to him. This power propelled him to move, run into the future. He entered into the future with boldness and courage. That's a human victory. That's a human victory. I pray that all of you live like that. Feel the power that moves you into the future. His attitude towards future is very different from the common attitude of people, like worries and anxieties or hopelessness, hopeless submission. And his attitude was very different. He also knew that his future was not in his hands. He very clearly knew that my future is not in my hands. But he believed that. My future is not in my hands, but my future is in God's hands. That's what he believed. That's what he believed. He believed that death is not the final station of his train. My friend, death is not the final station of your train. Don't get off there. Don't get off there. St. Paul believed that resurrection is his final station. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The power of resurrection was what propelled him into the future. So the goal, the completion of what God began, in the end, ultimately, what did he see? He saw the resurrection. He saw the resurrection, and that power of resurrection in his heart propelled him to move into the future. And suffering could not stop it. Death could not stop it. He said, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What do you see in your future? My friends, believe in your future. Believing Jesus Christ is not just an abstract concept, or it's just by phrase, by name, or by the words. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in your future. Believe in your future. When faith dances with the future, what does it become? When faith dances with future, then faith becomes hope. Another word of faith. So when faith dances with future, it becomes hope. Live with hope. Believe in your future. At the end of your journey, there is the resurrection. See that. See that. And boldly take the challenges that come to you and build your beautiful future. So is your future your enemy or your friend. Make your future as your friend and live it with hope.